Glory to God. Turn to Philippians, please, this evening. Philippians 4. If you weren't here with us this morning, we'd encourage you to get the CDs, materials, and get caught up with us. We looked at this scripture and we talked about a great truth from this verse. Philippians 4, if you didn't bring a Bible with you, smile at your neighbor that has one. Slide over and look on with them. Let your eyes rest on these wonderful words. Philippians 4, 13. What does it say?
I can.
What does unbelief say?
I can't.
What does weakness say?
I can't.
What does faith say?
I can.
I can. We're teaching in our church on Friday nights a series about God's will to heal. And you know, the leper came to Jesus and fell down and said, I know you can heal me if you will. Anybody remember what he said about that? What Jesus said? What Jesus answered him? He said, I will be clean, be healed. One translation says, of course I will be healed. Jesus never said, I won't. He always said, I will. The devil is negative. And he's always bringing thoughts to your mind and telling you that you can't have it. That it can't be. You can't be healed. You can't get out of debt. You can't get free from that addiction. You can't live a clean life. You can't get free from that sin. But he's a liar. I said, he's a liar. You know, I got a little picture frame that's got one word in it. Sits on my desk. I've had it there for decades. It says, always, with an exclamation mark. Anybody know what verse that's from? Now, thanks be unto God, who always causes me to triumph. When? Always. 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 You know, I was reminded when the Lord first started ministering to me about that, that if I'd hold on to Him and I wouldn't quit and I wouldn't give up no matter what was going on, He would cause me to triumph. He would cause me to win. But the devil will tell you, not this time. You ever heard that before? I don't care if God has met your financial needs 10,000 times. You have another bill come due and you don't know where the money's coming from. What will the enemy bring to your mind? Not this time. Not this time. Not going to work this time. It reminded me of a poem they made us learn in school years ago. By who was it? Edgar Allan Poe? Thus quoth the raven. What did the raven say?
Nevermore.
Nevermore. Nevermore. Mr. Poe had devils in his house. And that's what they want our kids to learn.
Nevermore.
The raven said. Sounds like somebody else. Not this time.
And nevermore.
It'll never work again. You'll never get your bills paid again. Not this time. I don't care if God healed you 1,000 times. Some symptoms come up. What does the enemy bring to your mind? Not this time. No, you're not going to get it this time. Not going to work this time. He's brought you through again and again, but the devil will come and say, not this time. He'll tell you, no, you can't be healed. You can't be healed. You can't get your bills paid. Not this time. Not this time. He's a liar. I said, he's a liar. And think about this. Has the thought ever come to you? It's not working. Has that thought ever come to you? It's not working. It's not working. Oh, yeah, you prayed your prayers. You sowed your seed. You've been making your confessions. It's not working. Look how long it's been. It's worse now than it was before you started. It's not working. It's not working. It's not working. He was telling me that one time. Now, I don't mean I didn't see the devil. I didn't, you know, you don't wait for something in a red suit and a pitchfork. If it's negative and it's trying to discourage you and thoughts and feelings are coming, that's the enemy. These thoughts kept coming to me. It's not working. It's not working. It's not, you might as well give up and quit. It's not working. And the Spirit of God, thank God for the Holy Ghost, inside me spoke up and said, if it's not working, why is he bothering you? If it's really not working, why would he care? Why would he even be messing with you about it? No, he is the father of lies. He is a liar. So if he tells you 193 times it's not working, what do you know for sure? It's working. It's working. The pressure is coming down on him. And he knows if he can't get you to back off, that it's going to come through and break out and come to pass. And there's nothing he can do to stop it. So the next time he tells you it's not working, say, appreciate that. I needed that encouragement. Now I know it is. Every time he tells you you can't, what do you know? I just verified it. Because I know you're a liar. So if you say I can't, and I already knew Philippians 4:13 was true. Look at it again. What does it say? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Which strengthens me. Hallelujah. So we began this morning talking about becoming stronger. This conference, as Pastor mentioned, is talking about building the church. Well, you are the church, right? You are the church. We are the church is not just buildings. We are the church. And how's the church going to get stronger? Well, it starts with you getting stronger. If all of us become stronger spiritually, stronger and greater in our vision, stronger and greater in our faith, stronger financially, stronger in prayer, stronger in our marriages, everything produces after its own kind. And, you know, sometimes people think, well, that doesn't sound very evangelistic to me. Oh, it's more than you think. Because it's the goodness of God that draws and leads men to repentance. One of the greatest evangelistic parts of your life and ministry should be in the victories of your life that unsaved people see. The stronger you are, the people around you on the job and people in the neighborhood and people at the grocery store and the parking lot see how strong you are and yet how humble you are. And how many victories you have, victory after victory after victory, it makes them want what you have. Some way or another, religion taught us that we shouldn't be very blessed, we shouldn't be very strong, we shouldn't be very prosperous or very healed, because some way or another, it'd take away from the Lord. That somehow or another, the weaker we are, it made him look good. Well, that wouldn't say much about him. Y'all understand that or not? That wouldn't say much about him that if I got very much money or I got very much strong, I'd start stealing Jesus' thunder. Are you kidding me? No, he intended that we be so strong, we be so powerful, we be so victorious, so healed, so blessed, so prosperous, that people who didn't know him would look at us and go, whoo-hoo-hoo. You something. You say, you think I'm something? You ought to see my master. The more blessed we are, it makes him look good. We are his glory. Weakness for us is not His will. The more blessed and strong we are, it glorifies Him. It exalts Him who made us strong, who blessed us, who healed us, who prospered us. Say it again, I can. Do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Bless the Lord. Go with me, please, to the book of Acts. Now, we're talking about being strong tonight, but included in this is being healed. The word used in connection with being sick and diseased is a word called infirmity. Infirmities, you'll see in the King James Bible numerous times. And it literally means, has anybody looked it up? What does infirmity mean? It means weakness. You have to look at the context to see whether he's talking about physical weakness or spiritual or mental or some other kind. But infirmity means weakness. Do you know of any sickness or disease that makes you stronger? Huh? No. What does disease do to a body? It weakens it. Right? Weakens it. Sickness weakens the body. Well, is God's will for you to be weak or to be strong?
Strong.
He's not in weakness. You know, you hear people who don't know these things and understand these things. I've heard preachers stand over caskets of somebody that died in their 20s. And they said, well, you know, God took them with his death. Because he wanted them to be with him more than the people that were there. And he needed another angel in the choir. And numerous unscriptural, unbiblical things. Trying to explain something that they did not understand. Death is not of God. Did you know that? Death, everything about death is weakness. Isn't it? Everything about death. Flowers, trees, plants, animals get sick, get weak, get old, get frail, get weak, die. That is not the perfect will of God. It doesn't please Him. 1 Corinthians 15 says, death is the last enemy of God that shall be put underfoot. It's an enemy. Death does not please Him. It was not a part of the original creation. Nothing was designed to die. It's because of sin and the curse that death is here. Oh, but good news. Soon and very soon, He's going to straighten this thing out. And the Bible says there will be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more crying, no more dying. None of it. There'll be no more weakness. Won't it be great? Soon and very soon, you'll just be able to go and go and go. And somebody say, aren't you tired? And you'll go, well, we don't get tired anymore. What do you mean, no, tired? All those things have passed away. Right? No more weariness. No more tired. No more sighing going, man, glad we're through with that. That won't even be a memory. So what about right now? Right now, we're still mortal. We get tired. And we're aging. Don't like to admit it, talk about it, but we are. Huh? The body's actually dying. The whole planet is dying. The Bible said the whole planet is groaning and travailing in pain. Whole things. Somebody talked about saving the planet. We're not going to be able to. Now, that doesn't mean you got to try to see how fast you can mess it up. Because we may need it for a while. But ultimately, we will not be able to save the planet. Everything that you see has been affected by the curse. And by sin. But, good news. We have been given and right now can enjoy the earnest of our inheritance to come, the first fruits of it, and that includes the quickening of this mortal body. No, it won't prevent you from growing old. No, it won't make you immortal, not yet. But you can get enough of it to quicken you and strengthen you and keep you in good service until you run your race and finish your course. The Bible said if the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, what will He do? He will quicken. Would that make you weak or strong? It's not going to make you weak. Quicken, that's a word for life. He will energize and make full of life your mortal. This one. Mortal body. Glory to God. I've experienced that at different levels. I know one time I had been gone on the road for a couple of days and didn't get sleep and drove all night. And boy, for the last 4 or 5 hours of my drive, I'm having visions of the bed. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, I was past needing sleep. And so I was going to call. I had talked to some people about coming to a meeting with them and kind of assisting them. But I thought, man, I'm not fit to go anywhere. So I got home. I'm standing by the bed. I picked up the phone. I'm going to tell them, you know, I'm not coming. Them take care of it. And they told me, you know, so-and-so didn't come. We want you to take the service. And I found myself saying, okay, I'll shower and change and I'll be there in a few minutes. And I hung up and I thought, what did you say? Well, you're not fit to do anything. What? And I checked my heart and the Spirit of God's prompting me to go. Well, man, I hurried and I got down there and it was a healing meeting. And there were people there needing help terribly. And I felt like 40 miles of muddy road. I felt lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut. Man, I felt bad. And I told the guys that were helping me, I looked at them and I walked in. I said, pray, pray, pray. And I went in. I'm telling you, you know, how many know you get tired enough, you can hardly keep your thoughts together. And I was about at that place. Much less preach, but I thought I was supposed to. So I went on in and I took a verse and the Spirit of God came on me. Oh, glory to God. A quickening came through me. Tired? I didn't know what it was. I waved my hands. I preached. We laid hands on everybody. We had miracles in there that day. Glory to God. And man, I just felt like I was revived. And I was quickened. I was quickened. And I bounced out of there and said hi to some people and did some things. Went back to my office and sat down. And that anointing lifted. And I was looking for the bed again. What is that? Can God quicken your mortal body? That belongs to us, child of God. That belongs to us. We can enjoy the earnest of our inheritance. Now, one of these days, that quickening that I was talking about, that I've experienced and many of you have experienced, one of these days, we're not just going to get a taste. We're going to get the rest. And so much of it is going to flood through our bodies that it is going to change them on an atomic level. This mortal shall put on immortality. Oh, glory to God. And there will be no more weakness, no more frailty. We'll be changed forever. Glory to God. And we will have glorious bodies. Just like Jesus' body that He has now seated at the right hand of the Father. Exactly like His, the Bible tells us. Are you looking forward to that? Yes. What do you have right now? Don't miss it now. You've got the earnest. You've got a down payment of that. You've got a first fruit of that you and I can enjoy right now. And that's what we're talking about receiving some of tonight. Enough of that will heal your body. We can't receive enough of it tonight to make you immortal. That comes later. I said you can't receive enough of it right now to make you immortal, but you can receive enough of it to make you healthy, to make you healed, and to help you finish your course and do what you need to do on the earth. Right? Enough of it to overcome sickness and disease. Are you in Acts? Acts chapter 3. There was a man who was laid at the gate Beautiful, you remember. And he was lame from his mother's womb. And the Bible said in Acts 3 and 4, Peter put his eyes on him with John. He said, look on us. He gave heed, this is Acts 3, 5, to them, expecting what? Expecting what? Somebody say, expecting to receive. Say it again, expecting to receive. One more time. Expecting to receive. Now, this has helped me as much as many other things in understanding what faith is and how it works. If you're in faith, you are expecting. If you believed that you received, you believe you've got it inside here, but it puts you in a state of expecting to see it out here. Are you with me now? You call it done by faith, yes, but that puts you in a state of expecting to see it. And expecting to feel it based on what you believe. He looked at them expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none. His wife had the pocketbook that day. But such as I have, give I you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones, what happened to them? What happened to them? His feet and his ankle bones, which were deformed from birth. He had never walked from birth, and he's an adult. So his feet and his ankle bones did not form right. They were not connected right, or they were too thin or too weak or whatever. But strength came into them, made them bigger, made them stronger, aligned them right. And even though he had never walked, and this is another miracle here, he got up and didn't have to learn how to walk. He leapt. Whoo! This man's never taken a step. And here he is jumping over stuff. He jumped, he leaped, he walked. What enabled him physically to do that? He received strength. But what happened before that? He was expecting to receive something. Before he received the strength, he was expecting to receive. Said out loud, expecting to receive, receive strength. Do you see how this worked? He's expecting to receive something, and then he actually physically received this strength. Now go with me to Hebrews, please. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews chapter 11. Do you suppose we could still expect to receive here in Florida in 2007? Could strength come into a physical body tonight just like it did then? Has God changed? Has Jesus changed? Is he a respecter of persons? Then why couldn't you receive strength that would change your anatomy, change an organ, change a bone, change blood cells? Why couldn't it? Friend, it is a reality in God that if you will expect to receive, you can literally receive power and strength in your body that will change and alter organs and glands and bones and muscle. It is not a fantasy. It is not, suggestion. It's the reality of the power of the living God. Well, I don't believe it. Well, you won't be bothered with it. He was expecting to receive something. Somebody say receive. This is the key. Jesus said this in Mark 11:24. Anybody read that verse before? What did he say, anybody? Mark 11:24. What things soever you desire, when you pray, what? Believe that you receive them. Here's that word again, right? What was this man? He was expecting to receive. Then what happened? He received strength. What things soever you desire. He desired to walk. He desired to be able to for his ankles and legs to be normal. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Didn't say believe that you felt it. Believe that you receive it. It's so simple, the devil has to help you to get confused about it. But he's always willing and ready to do that. Make it complicated, make it, oh, this faith is hard. If I had enough faith, you know, I believe something could happen. But, oh, faith is something, you know, it's hard to get a bunch of faith. These people didn't have a Bible. The woman with the issue of blood probably couldn't even read and write. Right? No, it's not how many scriptures you can quote. It's do you believe something? Do you believe that you receive? Now, the word for receive here, if you look it up, it literally means take. T-A-K-E. Believe that you take it and you shall have them. Say it out loud. Believe you receive them and you shall have them. Glory to God. Praise God. Mike, bring your Bible and come up here real quick. I want to illustrate something. We talked about this morning, but it'll bear repetition. Stand right there and reach this Bible out towards me. Let's say Mike's representing the Lord. Let's say this Bible is representing healing, and it's an appropriate illustration because he sent his word and healed them. And this is where so many millions of Christians are, begging God to heal them. Please, God, heal me. Please, please, I don't want to suffer anymore. I've spent all my money. I stay in the doctor's office more than I stay at work. Please heal me. Please, please, please heal me. Please, God, I'll try to do better. I'll try to do, please heal me. Please, please, y'all pray that God would heal me. I'm doing everything I know to do. Y'all pray and tell everybody you know to pray for me every time you pray. Would you pray? Come on, don't y'all care if I get healed or not? Working on God to heal me. Is that the issue? Is that what we need to do? Is to beg God enough so that he'd get, you know, get into a frame of mind to do it? Talk him into it? That is not how it is. What is the reality? Jesus came. He took our infirmities. He bore our sicknesses. He carried our pains. He bought our healing. He paid for it. By stripes ye were and are healed. Not a matter of trying to talk God into doing it. He's already done it. Just like he paid the price for all our sins. Just like he bore the chastisement of our peace. He also became poor for us. Right? So what remains if I'm going to enjoy this blessing? What has to happen? Go back to Jesus' words. What things serve you desire? I desire healing. What do I need to do? Beg God to do it. Plead with God. Plead. No, no. You must believe what? Believe God is able. That's not what it said. Oh, I believe he's able. I believe he can do it. Oh, I believe he's able. I believe it. It's not what he said, believe. That's good to believe that, but you got to go beyond that. Believe it's his will. That's necessary, but that's not what he said, believe either. I believe it's your will. Oh, I believe it's your will. Oh, I believe it's your will. That's not enough. What have I got to believe? I must believe that I receive. Somebody says, well, that seems so hard. I don't know how to do that. Yes, you do. You've already done it. You did it when you received Jesus. You believed, you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You believed, you received the forgiveness and cleansing of your sin. You already know how to do this. But people are weak in faith and weak in their spirit. So they'll reach out, and some people that do get past the begging go, I got to receive that. So I know it's mine. I know it's paid for. So soon I'm going to believe I receive that. Yeah. Okay. It's just so hard. I mean, these symptoms are just so bad, and the doctor said I wasn't going to make it. And, oh, please, God, would you heal me? Please, please, go back to begging. If you are a beggar, you are not a believer. You're not believing in that instance. And if you're believing and in faith, you don't beg. You believe, you receive. In order for me to enjoy this, at some point, I've got to get strong enough in my spirit that I reach out and I say, that's mine. You bought and paid for it. It belongs to me. And in the name of Jesus, I believe that I receive. Didn't say you felt anything. What did it say? You believed. If you saw it and felt it, you wouldn't have to believe it. You believe that you receive it. Oh, come on. Are you with me on this? Don't act like you know all there is to know about this. Believe that you receive. Now let's swap places. Let's say that Mike is me, face the crowd, and he's believed, he's received. He doesn't feel it, he doesn't see it, but he believes. He believes he received it. Let's say somebody laid hands on him, or he just believed he received it in his living room. He believes he receives his healing. Well, the enemy will come try to talk you out of it. He'll say, oh, you don't believe you received your healing, do you? Feel this. Look at this. Ah! What about this? You're not healed. Look how long it's been. You're worse now than you were when you started. What does it take? What does it take to hold on to this? Strength of spirit and strength of faith. And the Bible said you have need of patience. That's perseverance. That after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. He said, hold fast to your confession. Don't you quit. Don't you cast away your confidence. And what if he'll lay fast hold and he won't quit? Tell me what will happen to him. He will see it. His body, he believed he received his healing in his spirit. And if he holds fast to that, his body will receive strength. His body will receive power that changes him physically. Thank you. You can be seated. I want you to think about our Savior, who is the Word. The Word from the beginning. But the Bible said the Word was made flesh. Say that out loud. The Word was made flesh. Did it happen spiritually? Did it happen physically? The Bible said the spirit of Antichrist says that Jesus did not come in the flesh. The spirit of Antichrist denies the virgin birth, denies the physical birth and death and resurrection of Jesus. But he was born of a virgin. No earthly father. How did it happen? Someone says, oh, I'm not sure about that. You know, that's open to speculation. Then you're lost. You have to believe the Bible. If Jesus is just a man, like any other man, then you're lost. He was born of a virgin, no earthly father. How did it happen? The Word became flesh. The angel came and told Mary, you know, that she asked, how is this going to be? Because I don't have a husband. How can it happen? He said, the power of the highest is going to overshadow you. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit is going to come over you and the power of God. Now listen, here's what happened. What'd she say? Be it unto me according to your... When she received that word, there was conception. The Holy Ghost came over her and the word that was spoken from God literally became flesh. Do you believe that? Then you shouldn't have difficulty believing that the Word could become flesh today. I'm not talking about another virgin birth. I'm talking about the Word God speaks to you of healing. The Word God speaks to you of deliverance. The Word God speaks to you of prosperity. That if you, like she did, say, be it unto me according to thy word. I receive that word and you receive it in your spirit. The next thing you'll feel is the strength. The strength coming into your life of the Word being made flesh again. That's what we're talking about happening tonight. And it's already begun. So what do you mean? I can sense in my spirit it's already begun. Healing is already begun working in bodies in this place. You don't have to wait till later. You can just go, be it unto me according to your word. I believe I receive. We had healing school there at Brother Hagin's ministry. They still do. I was involved in it for a number of years. And I was teaching a little small group. There were 20, 30 people there. And a real informal in the morning session. People could ask questions. We told them that they could. And this little lady was sitting like a chair or two from me. I was standing about like this near the section. And I was talking about God's word is medicine. It's life to all that find them and health and medicine to all their flesh. And I was talking about Mark 11:24. Believe you receive and you shall have. And so she raised her hand. I said, yes. She said, does that mean that I just say, I believe I take my healing right now and I've got it? I said, yep. She said, okay. And I just went on and kept preaching, and I went on for an hour, you know, like we do. And she came up at the end of the service and she said, look. I said, what? She said, look. She showed me her notes. She had pages and pages of notes. I said, what? She said, I was paralyzed. I had a stroke. Hadn't been able to use that hand for years. The whole side of my body. Hadn't been able to write for years. She said, look. Sit there. And the word became flesh. Oh, glory to God. In her nervous system, her muscles, her bones became flesh. You see it right here? He was expecting to receive something. Did they speak a word to him? Come on now, come on. Did they speak a word to him? What did Peter say? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You get up from there and you walk. Was there power and life in that word? Anointing in that word. And what did he do? He received that word, and when he did, that word became flesh, and strength came into his ankle bones. I don't know if you could have heard them popping or what was going on, but the next thing you know, this man that they've drug around and laid out on the street corner from the time he was 2, he couldn't walk when he's 10 and 12, 15 and 20, he jumped. He leaped over some stuff and he ran and he held on to them, jumping and leaping and praising God. And Peter, they preached on it later and said, faith in that name has made this man whole and strong whom you see and know right here today. Well, that name has not lost any of its power. And you can still have faith in that name today. And it is not hard. It's not complicated. All you got to do is believe that you receive. That's it. And it's real. Hebrews 11, are you there? Hebrews 11. Can you take a little more of this? Hebrews 11. What chapter is this? This is the great hall of fame of faith. You don't get in here by doubting. Now do you? The great faith chapter. By faith this, and through faith this, and in faith and with faith. By faith. By how many know they did exploits? Glory to God. I mean, fire was quenched. Dead were raised. People were raised from the dead. Armies were overcome. Glory to God. And he mentions case by case. Are we part of this same faith family? Do we have the same spirit of faith as them? Can we say, I believe and I've spoken? Faith is about words. It's what you do with words. Before you read this, I don't think you're ready to read this. Hold your place here. Put a little ribbon or a pen or a mark or something here. Go to Daniel. I think you'll get more out of this if we'll go to Daniel first. Go to Daniel, the 10th chapter. One of the biggest problems in modern society has been this way generation after generation in the church is a lack of understanding or appreciation of words. Even most of the church just thinks that words are talk. And people just talk and talk and talk and do not have the concept that to be a speaking spirit and to be able to choose your words and put faith in your words and release creative power is God-like. How did God create the heavens and the earth? Nothing said about waving wands or pushing buttons or straining with his arms. Huh? How did he create the stars and the galaxies and the oceans and the planets? He spoke. He spoke words out of himself with faith and vision and life and light. And he said, light be. And it became manifest. We said, yeah, but that's God. You are a child of God. You're made in his likeness and image. Now, I don't think you're ready to release your words and create a galaxy tonight. Maybe one day. But you are supposed to be releasing some faith somewhere with some creative power. And you could start with your body. Over which you have authority. Maybe you're not saying planet, star, become, but you could say kidney, clear up. Lung, be clear. Blood pressure, be normal. Tumor, die. Dry up. Be eliminated from my body. Do most Christians do this? No, they don't. Most Christians don't even think like this. They think, you know, they don't like it when we do it. Who do you think you are? Well, you obviously don't know who you are. This is how we're supposed to operate. We quoted Mark 11:24. Anybody remember Mark 11:23? Mark 11:23 is not prayer. What did it say? Whosoever will what? Think. Not think, not cry, not beg, not pray. Whoever will say, speak to the mountain. That's not talking to God. That's talking to the issue. and won't doubt in his heart, but believe that what he says will come to pass. He's expecting to see it happen. He will have whatever he said. Jesus said it. Jesus said it. Could you speak a word here tonight? Could I speak a word? I'm primed in my spirit. I'm telling you, we're just minutes away from releasing faith on this. And in just a moment, I'm going to lay hands on people and I'm going to say, be healed in the name of Jesus. And I am not just talking. I've done this for decades. I've seen everything healed that you can talk about and think about. And I believe that nothing is too hard for God. It is easy for Him. But He requires something of us. It's faith. Faith expects to see something change. But now, how many know I could speak that with all the faith I have? What if the person on the other end of the hand does not believe they receive? There's not a reception. Remember when the woman had the pots and they poured the oil in it and the oil was multiplied? When did it quit? When there was no more reception. No more pots receiving it. The anointing flows as long as there's reception. Now, Daniel, what did we say it was? Are you there? Daniel 10 and verse 19. Daniel 10 and 19. Back up to verse 18. Daniel, when he saw the angel of the Lord, he was so weak that he said he fell out like he was dead. Couldn't move, couldn't lift up his hand. Weakness overcame him. Verse 18 of Daniel 10, there came again one and touched me. One like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. Can strength be imparted through a touch? That's why he told us to lay hands on each other. Can strength be, can flow through a touch? It did. Verse 19, and he what? He said, he spoke, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto you, be strong, yea, be strong. Read the rest of it, read the rest of it. And what? When he had spoken to me, that word became flesh. Oh, do you see this or not? How was Daniel strengthened? Do you believe the Bible? Did he come up off of that ground and stand up there and look this angel in the eye and listen to these words and receive them now? What happened to him? Something happened to his body. Radically happened. And where did it come from? A word was spoken unto him that said, be strong, yes, be strong. And that word pierced through the pores of his skin and went down into his blood and into his muscles and manifested physically. And he stood up there strengthened. He said, okay, talk to me. I can take it now. Glory to God. Do you believe that the Word was made flesh? Literally, there was nothing in Mary's womb. She was a virgin and unmarried, and the Word of God was manifested when she said, be it unto me according to your Word, and conception occurred. And the Word literally became flesh. Can it still happen? Can it still happen that different words that God speaks to you, can it literally become flesh? It's no problem for God to create a new heart valve, our new nerves, our new bones. I was recently in a meeting with Brother Kenneth Copeland. And I don't know if some of you knew that not too long ago, he had severe back problems. and I knew some of the details of it. Man, his discs were degenerated, and the vertebrae, and the discs were ruptured, and the fluid that were in the discs had been expelled and was just in his body and was gone, and they're flat, and so you got disc rubbing against disc. Well, normally when that kind of thing happens, best they know to do is go in and replace them with something artificial and brace them, and you know, because that's it. It's gone. Just recently, they did an MRI on him. Those discs have reinflated. They're full of the fluid that they're supposed to be, the gel and fluid. It's there, and they're the proper space, and the vertebrae that had been degenerated are normal again, normal size, and thickened back up. Some folk don't think that can happen. He's walking around living proof of it. And that kind of thing has happened again and again and again and again. If you would just believe that it's not impossible, that it really can happen for me. If you just believe that and receive it, miracles can be yours. Glory to God. Are you getting ready for some right now? I'm telling you, miracles are happening in this room tonight. Miracles. Healings and miracles are happening here. Tonight. You watch and see. It's already begun. Some things we'll know tonight. Some things we'll know after tonight. Reports will continue to come in. Because God's Word is faithful. It's true. It's powerful. It's strong. And it is still being manifest and made flesh today in the lives and the bodies and finances and marriages of His believers today. No, it doesn't work for scoffers and doubters. Bible didn't say these signs would follow them that doubt it. They follow them that believe. Hebrews 11. You still got that? Hebrews 11. Glory to God. What chapter is this? This is the great believe you receive and you'll have it. Believe it in your heart and say it and it'll happen. Chapter. You come too late to tell these folks it don't work. You think you could convince Abraham that this doesn't work? Or Gideon or David or any of these guys? No, they are faith people in heaven right now. And they're encouraging us going, believe God, boys, get with it. You don't have much time. Don't sit around and say you can't. Say you can. You can do it by faith in Him, by His anointing. Hebrews 11, though, talks about Abraham. And down in verse 11, it gets to his sidekick and partner. Who? Sarah. Now here's what's interesting. This is not Abraham and Sarah's verse. This is Sarah's verse. Are you with me? This is big stuff. I mean, none of us got a verse in Hebrews 11 right now. This is big stuff. Sarah. Didn't say her and Abraham. Notice what it says. Verse 11. Through faith. Also. Because it was been talking about Abraham. But now, Sarah. And get that next word. What does it say? Sarah with Abraham's help. No. Sarah and her prayer partners. Sarah and the staff. No. Sarah herself did what? Come on, say that out loud. Received strength. Faith is a receiver, isn't it? I've had the privilege of laying on hands on a lot of people over the years. And sometimes you'll see people, bless their hearts, they just don't understand. You go to lay hands on them, and they're like this. Like, you ain't knocking me down. They don't say it, but you can just sense it, and they kind of glare at you like, this ain't a pushing contest. It's not about falling. Falling doesn't heal you. There's been a number of people that fell and they didn't receive, and I had them get back up. Lay hands on them. Some people are just trained to fall. So you got both sides of it. It's not about falling. It's not about not falling. It's not about shaking. It's not about screaming in tongues. It's not about rubbing your head real fast. What is it about? Believing that you receive. Now, you can do that by yourself right now in your chair. You can do that at your house, at your bedroom, at the breakfast table, in your car, at the workplace, at your desk. But God loves us so much. He wants to help us so much. He's given us helps and aids. One of them is the laying on of hands. And through contact of the hand and through anointing and another person's faith, it helps you. Makes it easier for you to believe. Joins with your faith. But the bottom line is, when it's all said and done with, you believed that you received. You believe that you took something. Now, if you felt it and saw it all before it was happening or even as it was happening, you wouldn't have to believe it. You believe it not based on feeling or sight or sound. You just believe it. How'd you know you got it? I just believe I took it. Just like you believed you received Jesus. Just like you believed He cleansed you of your sin. It's faith. It's by faith, not by feeling. By faith. Sarah is the one who sat back in the tent door, and when she heard the angel of God tell him that about this time next year, Sarah's going to bear a child, she laughed in herself and thought it was big funny that they were so old and they're going to have and conceive a child. And he turned around and said, why'd you laugh? She said, I didn't laugh. He said, yes, you did. But that's encouraging to know that even if you're dumb as can be about the whole thing and slow and doubting and laughing and making fun of the word, that you can still get past it. I think when the angel of God left, I think Sarah had some heart, soul searching. And she thought, you know, I messed up on that. I should not have done that. God, forgive me. I'm sorry. I believe what you said. I believe and I receive that word. And this is not Sarah riding Abram's coattail. Sarah herself got in faith about this thing and believed that she received. And by her faith, she received strength. And this is amazing. What happened? Keep reading. She received strength. And what happened? To conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. How old are we talking about? Hmm? 90 years old? Already gone through the change of life? Couldn't conceive when she was 20. What happened? Oh, do you see this? Do you see this? She believed, she received this word that God spoke to her through this messenger. And because she did, by her faith, she received strength. And that word literally became flesh. Her organs were changed. Her glands were changed. Her hormones were changed. Oh, come on. Come on. I said her hormones were changed. Some say, well, you get to a certain age, you just can't do anything about it. Her hormones were changed. People put up with a whole lot of stuff that they don't have to. Yeah, we're still mortal. Yeah, there's stuff going on, but we can have the earnest of our inheritance. We can enjoy a foretaste of the resurrection life and power to come, and it can and will literally change our physical body. Glands, organs, blood, nerves, muscles, skin will literally, physically change. Did her body change? What changed it? There was no miracle drug that she took. No procedures were involved here. Huh? The Word got inside her and manifested, and her body was so radically changed that at 90 years old, kings wanted to take her into their harem. Forget Botox. This is way out beyond plastic surgery. How many believe the Word can do what nothing else can do? What no man can do? What no procedure can do? The Word of God can do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's praise God.